What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. Today's episode, we talked all about metabolic mistakes, in particular, the top five metabolic mistakes that you might be making right now that are making it more difficult for you to achieve your body composition goals, or really whatever goal you have. It could be performance, could be body composition, whatever it is. You're going to want to understand your metabolism, your metabolic health. And there are some things that I see all too frequently, mainly because I did them all. I was the biggest culprit of all of these mistakes. So I want to share and just kind of let you guys know from my own personal experience what not to do so you can avoid the same mistakes that I made, and it won't take you as long to get to where you want to be. So if you find this helpful, I would love to hear about it. You can shout me out on Instagram, take a screenshot of this episode and post it to your stories. Tag me at coach_Mike_Milner. You can copy the link to the episode and share it with your friends and family and tell people who might enjoy it to give it a listen. Or you can leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and let me know that you're enjoying the show. If you do any or all of those things, I would greatly appreciate it. And if not, I still love you just the same. All right, with that being said, enjoy the episode. All right, welcome everybody who is tuning in on the podcast. We've got another edition of our Monday night live training in the Facebook group, the best group there is on Facebook. That's proven fact. You can't dispute it. It is an unbiased, factual statement. The best group in Facebook, all of Facebook, is the personality diet and neurotype training. So if you're not in the group, you should be, because you're missing out on hands down the best group ever. We do this every single week, Monday at 5 o'clock Eastern. And then of course, this becomes the Wednesday morning Mind Over Macros episode. But it's fun if you can get on here live and then you can like heckle me in the comments while I'm going, while I'm doing this training in the Facebook group, and tell me what's going on with your life and ask questions that I may not get to. But anyway, we've got an important discussion today. I'm going to cover the top five mistakes that you may be making that are impacting your metabolism. And if this sounds familiar, it's because this was an email that I sent out this morning. It was also a post I made on Facebook. But you know me, I am long-winded. I like to provide more context. I like to get into the nuance of things. So I felt like a little post and email just didn't do it justice when we're talking about something that's as important as your metabolic health, which in my opinion is the most overlooked part of the fat loss and health equation. Like if you want to improve body composition, if you want to improve performance, if you want to improve your health and longevity, you have to understand your metabolism. You don't have to understand it too in depth, but having a basic grasp on how to improve or restore your metabolic health is really important. And it could be holding you back from achieving your body composition goals. It's why I talk about it so much. It's why I speak out against all of the fad diets and all of the extreme protocols, because they always come at a cost. And that cost is rarely ever worth it. The cost is your metabolic health, your metabolism. And I am not willing to pay that price, because I paid that price for a long time and it wasn't worth it. And it left me spinning my wheels for a really long time and having to dig myself out of a dark hole. And now we're here so we can shed light on what we should be doing. And I wanted to go over some of the common mistakes that I made that I see a lot of people still doing and impacting their metabolisms in a negative way. So again, this is something that, you know, it's personal experience. It's something that I lived through. There was a time in my life where I was eating about 2,300 calories on maintenance, where my projected maintenance was around 3,300 calories. So I was about 1,000 calories. Think about that metabolic adaptation that occurred from all of the chronic dieting that I did. My body down-regulated to accommodate for less food coming in or more stress or too much exercise activity. And it adapted to say, all right, we're not getting enough nutrients. We're not getting enough energy coming in based off of all of the variables like activity and stress and all of those things. So we need to slow down certain metabolic processes. We need to slow down. We need to reduce thyroid function. We need to depress the immune system. My body went through all of these adaptations to keep me alive, to keep me safe, to the tune of a 1,000 calorie difference between my actual maintenance at the time to my projected maintenance where I should have been. And that's one red flag. If you are eating significantly less than what your projected maintenance should be, and you're maintaining, in other words, let's say your maintenance should be 2,000 calories, and you're eating 1,200 calories, and you're not losing weight, you're not seeing progress. Well, you're adapted. Your metabolism has adapted. And if you've been following me for any length of time, you know that the path out of that is metabolic priming. It's restoring your metabolic health. So here's the thing. Most of this is what we do to ourselves. Like, I had no one to blame but myself. So even though at the time I was like, woe is me, I can only eat 2,300 calories. It's my genetics. It was just the hand I was dealt, you know, the victim mentality that I lived in. The reality was I created that mess. Of course, there are things that we can't control, and we can't control our genetics. And there's a lot of things that we can't control, but there's also a lot of things that we can. And I choose to be, I've decided over the years to be somebody who focuses on the things that I can control and do what I can. So I don't like to live in the I can'ts. You know, I just think that it shuts you off from so much possibility. And here's the thing. There may be certain things that you can't do, but if you say you can't do it, then you are literally never opening up the possibility that it could happen at some point. Like, if I said right now, I can't afford $1 million down payment on a house, that would be factual. I can't afford that. But rather than saying I can't afford that, wouldn't it be more beneficial to my future self to say, I can't afford that yet? Or I need to figure out how I can afford that. Right now, there's possibility. Just saying I can't immediately shuts off any possibility of any other outcome. That's a statement, period, the end. Case closed. I'm not leaving any room for growth. But if I say I can't yet, or I need to figure out how to, now all of a sudden there's this whole world of possibility. So my point to all of this is I used to live very much in the victim mindset of this was just the hand that I was dealt. I can't do anything about it. The reality is we have a lot of control over our metabolic health. And there are things that we keep doing to ourselves to dig that ditch deeper and deeper. And I'm going to go over my top five metabolic mistakes that you might be making right now. That's making it more difficult for you to achieve your body composition goals, or just to be healthier, just to be more fit. Whatever your goals are, metabolic health is something that you should absolutely pay attention to. So these are in no particular order. Number one, dropping calories too low. This is something that I hear literally every single day. There's not one day that goes by where I don't hear a story of 1,200 calories or 1,000 calories or less. I've heard stories of 500 calories. I'm not joking. I've literally had people tell me that they were put on a diet of 500 calories. It's crazy. And the impact that that has on your metabolism is not insignificant, because each time you do that, you are moving yourself further away from homeostatic balance. You are sending the signal to your body that it needs to adapt to the lack of nutrients coming in. It's a stress. Your body is registering this threat on the system, and it's going to do what it needs to do to survive. So when you drop calories too low, your body starts to adapt, your metabolism slows down, your sex hormones get lower, you have no sex drive, You have no focus. You have no mental clarity because there's not enough. Your brain requires a lot of energy. Your brain requires a lot of energy. When you're dropping calories too low, all of a sudden you can't think straight. You have brain fog. You're struggling at work, in your relationships. You get angry, you know, quicker. You're easily irritable. All of these things. And you start to notice that you get sick more frequently because your immune system's depressed. Your body's trying to preserve as much energy as possible to protect you. So that's number one. I won't say biggest mistake. I will say one of the top five metabolic mistakes. We have a lot of evidence to show that the metabolic damage can be really significant depending on how extreme the approach is. The way that I like to view it is each attempt at extreme dieting is actually making it more difficult for the next time that you try to actively lose body fat. So when you have a long diet history, you might have to spend a longer time repairing that damage. You might have to spend a longer time restoring your metabolic health. If anybody watched the show, The Biggest Loser, they did follow-up studies. And the follow-up studies did not reveal a ton of exciting information. It was actually quite sad and really unfortunate. The fact that they still allow that show to operate is almost criminal. Now, I don't know, honestly, I don't know if they changed anything about the show, but in some of the original Biggest Loser seasons, they followed up on the contestants who lost a significant amount of weight to see what happened with their metabolic health. And most of them had gained a lot of weight back. And even the ones that didn't, they all had a significant reduction in their metabolic rate. So in other words, if they went into the show, with a certain metabolic state, they were all impacted negatively long-term from the extreme approach of how little they ate and how much they trained and exercised. It's the perfect storm for metabolic adaptation, not in a positive way. Because when you say adaptation, adaptation can be positive or negative, right? Positive adaptation is like building bigger muscles when you adapt to training. Negative adaptation is like your metabolism slows down when you adapt to eating basically nothing. And while there was some restoration that happened as they started eating more and gaining body fat back, some of them never returned. I think most of them, I don't have the study in front of me, but it's easily Googleable. It's easy to look at the study. And I'm pretty sure that most of them, if not all of them, had some form of long-term metabolic adaptation where their metabolism did not recover to where it should have been at their new size. So if you want to tank your metabolism, you should restrict calories way too extreme. It works like a charm every single time. Number two, dieting for too long. So being in a calorie deficit for too long. And it's very similar to what I just talked about because it's a stress. When you don't have enough food coming in for all of your bodily functions, right? Just to live, just to move and live and function like a human, and you stay in that state for months and years, that is chronic stress that adds up over time. You're going to see the same exact negative adaptations occur that I just talked about with sex hormones, with thyroid, with immune system, with, you know, your hormonal imbalances. There's just going to be a whole plethora of things that you don't want to occur. And it's all because of the time that chronic stress is persistent. And here's the reality. It wouldn't be such a big deal. At least my theory is it wouldn't be such a big deal if we didn't have so much stress in our day-to-day lives. Like, my opinion is that the stress from dieting wouldn't be so severe in terms of how long we could actively diet. It wouldn't be so severe if we didn't have all of this other stress that added up on top of that. Like the mental stress that we deal with every day, the work stress that we deal with, relationship stress, family stress, thoughts and perceptions around food and whatever else we tell ourselves, anxiety and things that we deal with. I believe that it's our lifestyle stress that adds up. And then it's just the dieting stress that's the pin that pops the balloon. That's my theory. I don't have anything to prove that, but that's my theory. But most people, when they go into a diet, they just are forever trying to lose fat. And usually they get to a point where they are in a deficit and things are progressing, and then they get stuck. And then they typically go into a steeper deficit and they start progressing until they get stuck. And eventually they reach that tipping point and the wheels come off and they go off the rails for a short period of time. And then they jump back into the diet again. So they have this short break where they eat everything and gain a bunch of weight back. And then they actively diet again. So the length of time just keeps accumulating and accumulating. And your body is smart. Your body becomes more adaptive with each attempt. So if you were successful on 1200 calories, and I'm using success as a, I mean, if you saw temporary progress with 1200 calories, the next time you try that, let's say you had temporary success, you gain the weight back. The next time you try 1200 calories, it's not going to work as effectively as the first time. And then the 17th time, it's really going to be a struggle because your body's going to adapt even quicker. So we have to understand the time matters because, again, you're talking about chronic stress and a metabolism that just wants to keep you alive, just wants to keep you safe. It just wants to keep you alive. So it's going to adapt to protect you. The length of time that you can diet, it depends, because the number one question I get is, well, then how long can I be in a deficit? I realize that I can't be in a deficit forever, even though I've been trying that for years. But tell me how long. And I wish that I could just give you a blanket statement and say 12 weeks and everybody can do 12 weeks. And that's not reality. And if anybody tries to sell you that, then you should run very fast in the other direction, because you can't know. Everybody's different. There are certain variables that can give us some kind of insight, estimation, but even that is a educated guess at best. So we can look at things like your diet history, the other stressors in your life, your activity, your training, your personality type, your lifestyle and habits. All of those things can give us some form of educated guess as to how long you can hit a dieting phase. But we can't know for sure until we actually see how your body responds. It's going to be very personal. So we can have the best laid plans and say, you know what, for you, I think 12 weeks is ideal. And then we start going through the process and we start to see some red flags, like your hunger is through the roof. You've got intense cravings. You've got mood instability. Your digestion's out of whack. Your sleep is starting to suffer. You have no energy. Your performance in the gym sucks, like all these red flags. So we're not just going to stay in the deficit for 12 weeks. If that's happening after 4 to 6 weeks, of course not. We're going to listen and we're going to adjust. So we have to remember that it's highly personal in terms of the length of time. As a general blanket statement, which you know I hate to do, but I want to give something tangible. I don't think that anybody should really actively diet for more than 8 to 12 weeks. Now, the caveat to that is if you're incorporating strategies like refeed days and diet breaks and spending some time at maintenance, things like that, we can extend that timeline. But again, we have to pay attention to what your body is communicating, biofeedback, and know for sure, and we don't have to guess. And that's where I say, like, the advantage of having a coach, the advantage of one-on-one coaching is exactly that. There's no guessing game. You don't have to play that game. You don't have to wonder. We actually just know, based off of how your body's responding, based off of all the information we have. We can do a personality assessment. We can do a metabolic assessment. We can look at your diet history. We can look at the other stressors in your life. We can pay attention to biofeedback, and we can know exactly what's working and what needs to be adjusted. It just removes all of the guesswork, and it is the most time efficient thing that you can do. That would be my suggestion, because we're so subjective with ourselves. It's very easy to be like, okay, I get all of this. It makes perfect sense. I'm just going to go do it on my own. But then we let those old thoughts creep in. We start to question, am I doing it right? Could I be doing it better? How do I know what's working? How do I make adjustments? Don't stress that. Like, all of that stressing is just adding to the problem. you can offload all of that by just going into coaching. It's the most effective way of doing things, but that's besides the point. So that's number two, is the amount of time that you're dieting. Number three mistake that you may be making that's impacting your metabolism is ignoring stress and sleep. I would say that these are the two most underrated aspects of metabolic health. Stress, for sure. I think a lot of people talk about sleep and know the importance of sleep. Whether they do anything about it, that's one thing. But I think it's more known. I think it's more just general common knowledge that sleep is really freaking important. Everything that we get better at, it happens while we're sleeping. So many processes in the body rely on quality sleep and enough sleep. So we don't really need to like harp on that too much. Just know that it's important and it impacts your metabolic health. It impacts your hunger hormones, sex hormones, digestion, mental clarity, neurotransmitter balance, all of those things. It's so important. So we'll just leave it at that. But stress is one that not a lot of people talk about. I literally had a call with somebody who was with a coach for 1.5 years, 18 months with a coach, and never was stress discussed. Not one time. And I'm just taking her word for it. Maybe the coach would have a different side of that story. I don't know. But her version of that story is that for 1.5 years of coaching, stress was never brought up even once. And that is mind-blowing to me, because that's what our metabolisms care most about. It's about stress balance. It's about homeostasis. So we want to, like, our metabolism is trying to register the inputs and outputs of stress and find this balance and keep you alive and keep you safe. It's a stress barometer. That's basically what our metabolisms are. So we have to understand that stress is the number one disruptor of homeostasis, number one disruptor. And that can come in all different shapes and sizes and forms. And your body doesn't know the difference and it doesn't care what the difference is. So stress from not eating enough, stress from training too much, stress from not sleeping well, stress from your thoughts around food, if you're obsessing about food, if you have anxiety about food, stress from the argument you had with your spouse, all of that is stress that your body treats the same way. It's a perceived threat, and we need to adapt. And that's what your body does. So if you are not paying attention to the amount of stress in your life, and you don't have a way to mitigate, notice I didn't say remove, because the goal is not to get rid of all stress. Some stress is good, and some stress is just what it is. Like, it's there and it's not going to go anywhere, because there, like I said, there's certain things that we don't have control over, but we can always control some of the things that we do to combat stress, to mitigate stress, to recharge our batteries. We can have wind down routines. We can have morning routines. We can have, we can go for walks. We can meditate. We can journal. We can listen to music. We can write. We can do all of these things that help us manage stress. We can book massages. Speaking of which, I should definitely book a massage very soon. So that's number three. Pay attention to sleep. Pay attention to stress. They both matter a lot. Number four, not prioritizing muscle, because muscle is the most metabolically active tissue in the body. In other words, if you want to improve your metabolism, if you want to build your metabolism, if you want to be able to eat more calories without gaining weight, or if you want to be able to eat more calories while losing body fat, muscle is the gateway to doing that. So there's several different things that we can look at when it comes to prioritizing muscle. Number one, if you are doing too much cardio, you're not prioritizing muscle. If you're not strength training consistently, you're not prioritizing muscle. And if you're not eating enough protein, you're not prioritizing muscle. So all of those things, right? We want to prioritize strength training. We want to eat enough protein, and we don't want to overdo it on the cardio. Those things will either help you build muscle, or it will preserve the muscle that you have while you're trying to lose body fat. either way, super important for metabolic health. It's interesting because a lot of people assume that when they get older, their metabolism declines. It's like, well, you know, once I hit 40, my metabolism goes down, it declines. Then once I hit 50, it's even worse. And 60, like, screw it, I don't even have a chance. And here's the funny part about that is there are studies that kind of tease out what's going on with the metabolic decline as we age. And there is a decline as we age that is unavoidable. However, what we see in research is that the metabolic decline as we age is mostly due to lifestyle as we age and has less to do with the actual aging process. In other words, most people, as they get older, start losing muscle. They stop prioritizing strength training. They stop eating enough protein. As you get older, your protein needs go even higher. And so it's very simple where as we age, we typically start to lose muscle. And that's where most of that metabolic decline comes from. And it's almost negligible for people who age and continue to prioritize muscle and continue to preserve and maintain their muscle mass. There is like basically zero metabolic decline because it matters. It's important. So a lot of times people be like, well, what's too much cardio? I look at it as like, what's the signal that you're sending to your body? You should know if you're sending the signal of cardio being way more important and prevalent than strength training. You should really know that because, again, everybody's different. So I can't just say too much cardio means 5 times a week because for some people that might not be too much cardio. For others, that might be way too much cardio. It really just depends on what you're doing. But are you sending the signal that cardio is more important than strength training? Because then your body will be like, yeah, well, we're not really using this muscle, but we are trying to get more efficient with calories through doing cardio. So let's get rid of some of this muscle tissue. Not a good thing. All right. And now here's the other part of that. If you just want to be better at cardio, if you have a sport that you're doing that requires you to, you know, be more cardio focused, or if you just love to do cardio because of how good it makes you feel, by all means, go for it. I'm specifically talking about the metabolic advantage of muscle and strength training. So I don't want to get it twisted. Like, if you like to do cardio, there's certainly plenty of health benefits. And if you just enjoy it or you want to do it for performance, cool, go for it. I'm strictly talking about this from a metabolic standpoint, and making sure that you get in enough protein. All of these things kind of fall under the umbrella of not prioritizing muscle. It's the most metabolically active tissue in the body. If you want to build your metabolism, you should build muscle. And number five, the last thing that I'll talk about when it comes to metabolic mistakes that you might be making, only caring about quantity and not quality. Only caring about calories in versus calories out and not where those calories are coming from, because they both matter. The calories in versus calories out zealots or gurus, they love to sit on their high horse and talk about how you can eat whatever you want as long as you're in a deficit and you'll lose body fat, which is true. But it also misses the point when it comes to health, metabolism, your hormones, how you feel. So yes, of course, I can drink alcohol every single night and account for it and be in a deficit and still lose weight. However, alcohol has a direct impact on my metabolism. So if I'm doing that every single day, probably not going to be beneficial for my metabolic health. So this isn't one of those situations where you have to choose, oh, do I focus on quality or quantity? It's both. They both matter. Now, again, we don't want to over-rotate on the quality side and be like, oh, well, quality matters, so I can't ever have a cookie. I can't ever have a drink. I can't ever have, you know, a glass of wine or whatever. Of course you can. Of course you can have balance. Of course you can have flexibility. I'm just saying that it's not as simple as a basic equation of calories in versus calories out, and that's all that matters. So you could eat at maintenance, which would be a good thing to do, but if all of your choices are shit, you might be doing damage to your hormones, your metabolism. You might still feel, you know, low energy. You might still feel mood imbalances. You might still have issues with digestion, things like that. So it's important to pay attention to both. Now, I am somebody who has made all five of these mistakes. I used to actually hit for the cycle of all of them and do them all frequently. And there's a reason why I had lingering issues with my thyroid from all the years of chronic dieting. Just is what it is. I made that bed, now I have to lay in it. But there's certain things that I can do to help with that. And now that I've restored metabolic health, it's easier for me to stay lean and I can still be more flexible. I can still eat a higher amount of calories. There's things that I can get away with because of the time that I spent restoring my metabolic health. There are certain red flags that you can look for. You can pay attention to your own biofeedback, your hunger signals, either lots of hunger or no hunger. Both are red flags. Your cravings, if you're starting to notice that you have more intense cravings or that you're binging, snacking more frequently, that sort of thing can be a red flag. Low energy, you know, feeling fatigued, kind of hitting that wall in the middle of the day, relying heavily on caffeine. Mood, if you notice that you're easily irritable or you have these big mood swings, that can be a red flag. Digestive issues can be a red flag. Your performance in the gym, you're struggling to find strength that's normally there, energy that's normally there. How you recover. If you're noticing it takes you a really long time to recover and there's lingering soreness, again, you don't have to over-rotate on that, but it can be a sign. Sleep disturbances, if you're overly stressed, if you have no sex drive, if you're experiencing cycle irregularities, if you're a woman, or if you're finding that your focus and mental clarity is off. All of those things can be red flags that there's some metabolic issue, something that we need to take a look at and kind of restore that homeostatic balance. And once again, just to reiterate the fact that it's so much easier if you just have a coach who knows what they're doing, who can walk you through this process. I think that we happen to do it better than anybody else out there. Of course, I'm biased. Find yourself a quality coach. It does not have to be somebody from my team. It does not have to be Pop. There are amazing coaches out there, but I just think the value of having somebody walk you through this where there's no guessing game, it's going to save you so much time. It's going to save you so much mental energy and frustration, and it's going to set you up for long-term success. So again, rather than thinking about it in the short term, think about the long game. Think about what that looks like in 2 years when you're in that place of food freedom, when you have the body composition you desire, when you don't have to diet anymore, when you don't have to worry about all these things. Or think about the flip side of that. What if in 2 years you're still banging your head against the wall? You're still noticing all of these red flags. You're still not where you want to be. And you've actually moved yourself further away from the ultimate goal. That's not a pretty place to be, because I made that decision over and over again for 10 years until I finally woke up. I was like, I'm not going to do this on my own. I need somebody to help me. And hiring a real coach was the difference maker for me. Hopefully you don't take that long. You don't waste that much time like I did. And you realize the value. Not looking at it as, you know, we're always so quick to think in terms of instant gratification, but think about the long-term returns on something like that and what that would do for you. Overall quality of life, health, body composition, confidence, self-esteem, relationship with food. For me, it's a no-brainer, but obviously everybody's different. But hopefully this was helpful. As always, if you enjoy the content, I'd love to hear about it. You can send me a direct message on Facebook. You can send me a direct message on Instagram at @coach_Mike_Milner. I appreciate you guys for tuning in live and on the podcast, and I will talk to you all very soon.